We felt Him in the midst, and we appreciate Sister Katie just praying and seeking the Lord. And Jesus said, if us being fathers, one asked for bread, would we give them a stone, or a fish, a serpent? He said, if we being evil know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And I'm glad that we can have a hunger for the Holy Ghost. And He'll not leave us empty, will He? I don't believe that it's the will of God for us to leave this service tonight the way that we came in. But I believe the Lord wants to touch us so we can leave different. Leave with our prayers answered, our lives touched, situations met, and God get the glory. I want to read tonight from the book of Luke, if you have your Bible, the book of Luke. Chapter number 15. You pray that the Lord will help us tonight. Thank you for all that you've done for us already. Luke chapter number 15. I want to read just a verse of scripture there. Verse number 17. Luke chapter 15. Verse number 17. The Bible said, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I want to preach from that verse where this young man, in this place that he was in, he came to himself, but he said, in my Father's house, there is bread enough and to spare. I want to preach tonight for just a little bit, if the Lord will help me, on He's more than enough. He's more than enough. Luke chapter number 15, there's three things in that chapter that were lost. There was a lost sheep, there was a lost coin, and there was a lost son. And every instant that which was lost was found again by the grace of God. The sheep, he left the 99 and went after the one. The woman, she lit a candle and began to search diligently until she found which was lost. We know this young man in this pig pen of sin came to himself and had a recollection of the plenty that was in the Father's house. This young man, for some reason, with his imagination full and with his pockets filled, thought that there was more to offer in the far country. For some reason, he thought that he could leave the Father's house and go down that road that led him away from that place of plenty and took him to a place of poverty. This young man, when he got there, probably thought everything was going to be just like he imagined. But when he got there, he found a famine. He found a world that was broken. He found a table that did not have the plenty of supply like the Father's house. My friend, there's been a lot of people, when they look at this world, they feel like that the world has a place of plenty. But my friend, we live in a world that is broken. We live in a society that's been wrecked and ruined by sin. And my friend, tonight we know that we live in a world and a country that just does not have enough. He spent all that he had, and when he began to be in want, he was wanting because he had strayed far away from the Father's house and from that place where there was always enough. And my friend, tonight there may be a world that does not have enough. But right here in the house of the Lord, there is a table spread. There is a sufficiency. There is a provision. There is a God that is among us tonight. And He My friend, he spent all. And he didn't have enough. The famine hit. And it left them with a deficit. My friend, it reminds us of the crisis of our hour, where men are living with a deficit. We live in a country that's satisfied to live with deficits. I remember just last year around the end of the year, and you remember how that Congress passed $750 billion to bail out the banks as they were falling apart, and people were concerned, and people were worried about the financial situation. When the stock market began to plummet, and people began to rush the banks and draw out their money. So they began to pump money into that, the banking system, and they began to try and interject a stimulus into the banking system so that they could somehow make a recovery. But we found out after they'd spent half of that money, a lot of it they don't even know where it went. And a lot of it they don't know what it's done. Why? Because it wasn't enough. They just passed $786 billion more dollars, what they've called a stimulus package. And I heard they said the other day that the president is, if he has to, he's willing to go back and ask for more money because they're already realizing that it's probably not going to be enough. We can look at unemployment. We can look at prison systems. We can look at the education system. And it does not take in much insight to know that we're living in a world that just doesn't have enough. We have a broken government trying to hold a broken society. But my friend, when broken things are trying to cradle broken things, it just is not enough to meet the need. But my friend, here tonight, there are nail-pierced hands that are outstretched. There is a mighty arm that is among us. And there is enough in the economy of God to meet your every need. I'm not worried about heaven looking for a bailout. I'm not looking for the Holy Ghost to ask for a handout. Because the King of Glory has enough to meet your every need in this hour. I remember when the hurricane hit the Gulf Coast, where we're from. Hurricane Katrina smashed the Gulf Coast, hundreds of miles wide, 100 miles deep. The government came in and began to try to help. State came in. They was giving money and groceries and ice and places to live. But Brother Rice, at the end of the day, after they had given out everything they allotted, it wasn't enough. There was people still standing in line. There was people still out in the cold. There was people that still, I remember hearing, I delivered a few FEMA trailers, just mobile, little simple mobile homes, RVs, for people to live in. And I remember taking one RV to a house where a man was, and his mother was staying with him. He said, "I'm so glad you brought this." Said, "My 85-year-old mother has been sleeping on the floor, a wooden floor, no covers, no heat, no running water. And I'm glad that you brought this. This is sure going to help." And I thought, right here in America, a woman sleeping on the floor right down the road from where we live. Why? Because there just was not enough at the time to go around. Have you ever seen those signs somewhere that say, "For a limited time only," or "There's going to be a limited supply," or "You better hurry and get it while you can, because before long it's probably going to run out"? But I feel like tonight in this revival meeting here at King Mountain, I don't believe that heaven has a sign up that says revival for a limited time only. I've never seen a sign posted on the streets of glory that says you better get a blessing while you can, because heaven is going to run out. And heaven's supply is going to be bankrupt. Hey, I believe believe there is a table. I believe there's bread enough and to spare at the Father's house tonight. You don't have to leave hungry. You don't have to leave empty. You don't have to leave barren. And you don't have to leave with a deficit in your soul, because heaven has enough to meet your need. I remember hearing of a young boy. He was in a hospital bed, sick, dying, feverish. And he had a nurse that was a Christian that would come to him, tell him about the love of God, tell him about the power of the Lord. He would say to his nurse, "I've been to church, I've been religious, I've gone through ceremonies." But she would press him about knowing Jesus and his power for himself. One day the nurse came in and there was something different about the young boy. His face looked different. He didn't look as sick or pale or lifeless. His eyes looked like there was health in him again. And he was sitting up in the bed. And the nurse asked him, "What had happened? What's happened to you?" And he said, "Nurse, you've been telling me about the power of the Lord, about the power of Jesus for several days now." He said, "I always knew that Jesus was necessary. But said last night I prayed and I found out that he's enough." Hallelujah. And I see this great crowd of people here tonight. There's probably a lot of us here that we come to this revival and we come to church every week because we know that Jesus is necessary. But my friend, not only is Jesus necessary in this house tonight, but there is one that is among us that is not only the necessity of our life, but he is enough for our life. He's enough when America's in turmoil. He's enough when the church needs revival. I said he's enough when you're broken and bruised and wounded and worried. I said there's a hand, there's a provision that has enough when you lift your hands and thank God that he has enough. Woo! Hallelujah to God. My wife tells me, "Set Brother Rice, he's sharp, he's educated." I mean, she's high on you, Brother Rice. I don't know what you've done. She's high on you, you and Sister Rice. But they say there's 10 billion stars in our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. They say there's 10 other galaxies with at least 10 billion stars in them. Now, Brother Nathan, if I got it right, that's 100 billion stars. And I was wondering how many stars that is. How would you count 100 billion stars? So I began to do some figuring and looking and researching. And if I've got it right, a man said it would take, if you counted 1 million stars a day, which without the aid of some computer, that would be impossible humanly to count 1 million stars a day. But if you counted 1 million stars a day, it would take 273 years to count 100 billion stars. But he calls them all by name. I've got a son, his name is Russin Matthew. He's a miracle. I've got a daughter, her name is Riley Catherine. She's my second miracle. We and my wife had the hardest time in the world, Brother Webb, just trying to come up with 4 names. And then sometimes when everybody's crying and we're getting ready for church, it's hard to remember those 4 names. But my friend, there's a world that's crying, and there's men that's dying, and there's people that's hurting, and there's people that's wounded, and there's people here tonight that need a miracle from God. But I said, after he's walked through every galaxy, every star, and tapped them on the shoulder and whispered their name, he still knows who you are, and he still sees you with these mountains all around. I said, his eye is on you, and he knows exactly
where you are because there's a God that has enough. I said there's a God that has enough.
They said there's 6 billion people in the world. Our world at the equator is 25,000 miles around. But if everybody in the world held hands, we could wrap around the world 123 times. But I believe that if everybody in this world cried the name of Jesus at the same time, a cry that echoed and made the moon ring like a bell, I believe there is an ear that sits high that could hear them all. Because he said, my ear is not heavy and my arm is not shortened that I cannot save. Hallelujah to God. We come in here on a Sunday night and we look at the situation that we're in and the devil's tapping you on the shoulder and says God don't care and God can't do it. But I say look at the stars and he calls them by name and then look at you and you're much greater than the stars. He didn't die for the stars. He died for you. He loves you. And my friend, he's going to move for you. Hallelujah to God. Right there in the heart of it all, Brother Webb, in Psalms 23, how many times have we gone there? In times of sorrow. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I remember a young boy in Sunday school, he was trying to remember that verse. He got up before the church, and he had to quote the whole verse. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And he stopped. He couldn't remember it all. He said it again. The Lord is my shepherd. And he stopped. The third time he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And they could see the look of confusion on his face. He couldn't remember. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that enough? And David come on in there and said, that is enough. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why aren't you wanting, David? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Why isn't there a need there, David? Because he supplies every need. Why isn't there a deficit in your soul tonight, David? Because the shepherd, he walks along beside me and he meets my need and he has bread enough and to spare. Woo! I gotta hurry on. My friend, he said, there's bread enough. And despair. I remember hearing, I believe it was Brother Horton that might have told it, or I read it or something, about a woman that was lived right in Richlands. She raised her kids in Richlands. Is that the Appalachian Mountains around here? Sort of. She lived in those mountains, raised her kids. Her kids grew up, moved to Virginia Beach. And that woman had never seen the ocean. She was getting on up in years where the Webb and her children wanted to take her and show her the ocean. So they came and picked her up. First they took her to Washington, D.C. and showed her all the monuments, all the things to see in the history of the United States. And it's a great thing to see, but it really didn't impress her much. Then they drove her through the Shenandoah Valley. And that's a beautiful sight in itself. In the fall, it's almost like God took a paintbrush and dipped it in the colors of heaven and gave us a foretaste of glory. But that really didn't impress her much. And then they took her to Virginia Beach, got her out of the car, walked her across those sands, and her eyes beheld that water. She looked at water as far as her eyes could strain in front of her. She looked at water as far to the right and to the left. Finally, after she beheld that and took it in as long as she could, she turned around and told her children, said, you can take me home now. And she said, I thank God. For the first time in my life, I've finally seen something that there's enough of.
But right here in this church house on a Sunday night, we may not look at a body of water in the physical, but we can look at a body of water called the grace and the goodness and the glory of our Savior. I believe if you'll look just right, and maybe you may have to get to a higher place where you can just stand on tiptoe and look out across all the promises of God and all the power of the Lord, and then turn around and look at your problems and say, thank God, the depth, the width, and the height, there is enough. I said there are unsearchable riches tonight, and God has enough. I don't know where you're at, but God does. But I do know one thing. It does not matter where you are. There's enough of God's power to meet you there. I'm about to make an altar here. A little while back, you ever been to a Piggly Wiggly? You ever heard of those here? When I was a boy, seeing those Piggly Wigglies, I didn't know these grocery stores. I didn't know if they sold pigs in there or what. I really didn't. I've learned better now. I know you probably can't tell it, but I have. I've learned better. When I was in North Mississippi preaching a revival, about the only thing in that town was a flashing light, a car wash, a laundromat, and a Piggly Wiggly. My wife sent me up there with a list, and I endeavored to get everything on the list. And as I finished up there, I rolled up with my buggy to the checkout. There was a little black boy right there checking out. He's about 10 years old. He had some little cut-off shorts on. It was the middle of July. He had some little cut-off shorts on, no shirt, no shoes, no socks. He looked like he'd been doing what I'd done a lot of days as a 10-year-old boy. Looked like he'd been playing in the dirt. And he had a fistful of candy, and he had a pocket full of change. And he laid his candy up there on the checkout, and the lady began to ring it up, gave him his total. He took his money out of his pocket, laid it up there. She counted it out. And she looked at that little boy and said, I'm sorry, you don't have enough. Well, I saw myself there kind of, Brother Webb, and I seen that Hershey's, and I seen that Snickers, and I seen that Reese's, and I thought, how will this boy ever know what to put back? How would he ever decide? If Harvard done a study, they could probably never determine what should be put back. Now, I'm no rich man by any stretch of the imagination, but I had more than he did. So I reached in my billfold, took out some money, gave it to the lady. She took out the change, and she went to hand it to me, and I pointed for her to give it to the little boy, and his eyes was about as big as silver dollars. I said, keep the change. And he put the change in his pocket. He scooped up the candy, and he ran out the door. And as I was walking out of that grocery store with everything that I'd come for, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, there's a lot of people who come to the house of the Lord and they get everything they gather. Lord, I need you to do this. God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to move here. And God, I need you to help my family. And they come and they gather it all up. And a lot of times, we don't have enough. But my friend, there's a hand of sufficiency that always comes right on time. And that little boy came into that grocery store with not enough, but he left with more than enough. And you've come here tonight and you don't have enough. But I'm believing the Holy Ghost to come to where you are, and you can leave this house tonight with more than enough. Would you stand and lift your hands and ask the Lord to have His way right now? Oh, hallelujah to God.
Do you have a need here tonight? You look at your faith and you look at the circumstances. You may look at your abilities. You may look at your strength. You may look at a lot of different things that you think that you could contribute to try and figure out life's problems. But when it's all added up, we still don't have enough. But my friend, I believe the Lord's come to make up the difference tonight. He's got enough. He's got more than enough. He has bread enough and to spare. Somebody come get us a song, and I wonder, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if there'd be one. I wonder if there'd be one that you're like that young man who was in the hog pen of sin, who came to himself and remembered that in the Father's house there was never such a low estate. There was always enough. And I wonder if there'd be one right here in this revival meeting tonight that you're in the pig pen of sin, but you'd like to come back to the Father's house because there's always enough there. Would you lift your hand anywhere across the building? I'm in a pig pen of sin. I'm not where I need to be with God. I'm low, I'm empty, and I'm bankrupt spiritually. And I need the Lord to help me. Would there be one anywhere across the building? You just slip up your hand. God may be dealing with your heart right now. You don't have enough to fix your problems, but heaven's got enough. And heaven has a surplus. I wonder if there'd be a saint of God here right now that you come into this meeting and you've got a need. You've got a situation. You've got hurts. You've got questions. You've got worries. There's anxiety about tomorrow. I feel the Holy Ghost. There's anxiety about the future. You say, God, I don't know if I have enough. I need a touch of God. I need the help of the Lord. I've come here tonight with needs. I've come here tonight with situations. And I don't have enough to fix it on my own. I need the help of the Lord. Would you raise your hand right now and put it right back down? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Raise your hand and put it right back down. I read the other day that only 8% of the things that we worry about are actually worth worrying about. The other 92% don't even constitute worrying, or you can't do nothing about it, or it's something that you shouldn't be worrying about at all. 8%. But I really feel like right now, I really do, that there's people here tonight and you're worried. You're worried about it. My friend, he's got enough. I feel the Holy Ghost. I really do. I feel like God's wanting to help somebody. There's anybody else? There's been several that's raised their hand, but if there be anybody else, say, preacher, there's a worry, but I need God to move in my life tonight. Anybody else, you'd raise your hand, put it right back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, thank you. Oh, God.
Let's all lift our hands as somebody gets us a song, and let's ask the Holy Ghost to have his way in this altar call right now.